Hello, this is Simon Mayo. Mark Kermode made an early appearance in the studio this week to review A Great Night for Britain at the Oscars. Stand by for this unique insight.
This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Good doctor, good afternoon to you. I hope you had a pleasant week off.
Yeah, it was very nice. Thank you very much. How was Friday? Did you get by without me?
Only just. We struggled through in the good company of Dr. Jamie Cullum and Dr. Andrew Collins, who were with us.
Now, I've become addicted to Dr. Andrew Collins' website. He's got a website called Where Did It All Go Right? Because he wrote a book called Where Did It All Go Right? And it's the most... When you go onto it, it's incredibly funky. And he blogs like a million times a day, which, as you know, I don't. And it's very... it's kind of addictive.
We're going to be discussing everything that happened last night. Let's first of all talk to Rahul Dandon, who's in Mumbai, which is where, of course, where Slumdog Millionaire was made. Rahul, good afternoon to you. I know you watched the whole Oscar ceremony in the slums where the young stars of the film grew up and where it was shot. What was the reaction there? What was the whole thing like, sir?
Well, it was fascinating, really. I mean, there was this tiny little TV, it was black and white, that was put in this place where Muhammad Azharuddin comes from. His father was sleeping in his tent about 20, 30 yards from where everybody else was watching it on telly. He wasn't feeling well, so he didn't come out himself. At times during the whole ceremony, the TV power went on it, so people really had no idea what was going on. And at that final moment, when Slumdog Millionaire was given the award for the best picture, it kept going. People just kept shouting and cheering and walking in saying, has it won it? Has it won it? And of course, they found out in the end that it had, and there was great celebrations. And they're preparing to welcome their two young children back home and really want to hear from them what the experience of being at the Oscars was like. So there's great celebrations there. I have to say, in other parts of Mumbai, 60% of this city, Simon, live in the slums, in the conditions that you see in Slumdog Millionaire, the movie. There isn't such a feeling towards the film. I spoke to Krishnan in Dharavi, and he said, you know, look, there, not everyone's a fan.
I think we don't care about it. Even I think if you go just other side, you can see some hoardings there, which is written, you know, hum some slum dog nahi hai, you know. We are not the slum dog, you know, and declare Dharavi as a commercial city, okay?
Rahul, I mean, this is, of course, a British film. Is it seen as such or is it seen as an Indian film? How is it viewed?
When it was being criticised, it was certainly a British film when all the controversy was raging about the movie. Now that it's won all these Oscars, there's a lot of people who seem to be turning their tune and saying, hey, forget about the British part of it. This is a movie shot in India and it's really an Indian film. I think people here look at the likes of A.R. Rahman being involved in it, Anil Kapoor, Irfan Khan, who really is one of the best actors in Bollywood at the moment, and see a much stronger Indian involvement with this film than, say, with Gandhi, which won all those Oscars many years ago. I spoke to fans in one of the slums about whether they thought this was a British or an Indian film.
See, since it has a British director, so they look as per that perspective. But then that again varies from people to people.
Definitely it's an Indian film because all actors are Indian. But the picturized, the all picture is picturized on Indians.
It was an Indian picture, no? That's why. A.R. Rahman was there. He is an Indian.
It's an Indian film, and moreover, the ground realities are shown in it.
How's it done in the box office, Rahul?
It's done okay. Not really as well, I think, as it's done globally. And I think that brings you to a very interesting point. Just as Bollywood movies probably really struggle to do well in the West, where few people understand them and probably think they're a little bit like bizarre musicals, a lot of Western films really struggle over here in India. It was released in English and in Hindi, but the Hindi version didn't really get shown on many cinema screens. And still, you know, as the majority of the population, particularly in the North, speak that language, it really meant that not that many people had access to it. I went to speak to some people today, Ashish and Reema, who had just been to see the movie, and this is what they thought of it.
Compared to a Bollywood movie, I think there are plenty of movies out there that are significantly better. What it does do is that it highlights again a very much of an uncomfortable truth which exists in India and which people do turn a blind eye to.
It has all the set Bollywood formula, then I guess it's fresh and interesting for people who haven't seen Bollywood, but in my view, there are much better Bollywood movies.
I suppose they would say that, wouldn't they, Rahul? What difference will the success of this movie make to Bollywood?
I think that is going to be huge. You know, there's a lot of people have concentrated on the millions who live in the slums. Let's be frank, it's very hard for a movie to change their lives, and it's really not Danny Boyle's job to be doing that either. I think for the Indian film industry, this is a really significant moment. We know that companies like Warner Brothers have invested heavily in this country. They had the recent movie Chandni Chowk to China. You know, Disney have also produced a Bollywood animated movie. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And I think you'll see Anil Kapoor, who plays the evil quizmaster, really almost trying, as people are saying here in Mumbai and Bollywood at the moment, as putting himself as that bridge between Hollywood and Bollywood. Believe me, there's a lot of big Bollywood actors at the moment, I'm sure, who are sitting there, Shah Rukh Khan and Amitabh Bachchan in particular, who must be wishing that they'd accepted Danny Boyle's offer in the first place to take that part. They turned it down. I'm sure they're regretting it this evening.
Rahul, thanks very much indeed. Interesting email here, which is signed "With kind regards and best wishes, The Insider." Okay.
That always sounds bad.
A film industry worker, according to this email, for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
He says, "Let me put you right on one fact." He says, "Stop all this sanctimonious guff about Slumdog. Right now, the only source for lines of credit for making films in Hollywood is the Indian film industry. I have found as a producer in the past 24 months that I simply cannot get lines of credit in the USA because of the credit crunch. However, there is unlimited liquidity from Bollywood who want to forge alliances with the American film industry. That's why it's won 8 Oscars. Money is the only language in Hollywood, and Indian money is much in demand, if not a lifeline, for the current financing of movies. The suggestion, then, it's won because that's where the money is."
I mean, that sounds overly cynical to me, although I understand anyone being cynical about, you know, any awards. It is certainly the case that, I mean, Danny Boyle himself said this, it's the situation not of just Bollywood looking towards Hollywood, but Hollywood looking at Bollywood. And there is a strange merging which is on the cards, with Warner Brothers was mentioned there. I mean, other key Hollywood figures are spending an awful lot of time in Bollywood. I mean, Danny Boyle was saying that when he was over there, Will Smith was over there quite a lot. I mean, there is, the two things are merging. And it's interesting that when people talk about Slumdog Millionaire now, saying, is it a British movie? You're saying before, is it a British movie? I mean, clearly it's a, you know, it's a British finance movie and, you know, key British talent. But it was interesting that when one of the first Oscars that was won for Slumdog, which was sound mixing, the guy said, "Look, this is a historic moment for the Indian film industry." And it is. All these things are colliding. It is certainly true that financing has become a massively two-way street. It's not simply the case anymore that if you're looking... But actually, I have to say, that's nothing particularly new. I mean, I remember back in the 1980s, people like Brian Usner saying, you know, the future for financing films is no longer in America. The future is finding people who can cut deals, international distribution deals, international financing deals. It is an international market, and we are. And I think this is a good thing. I think the fact that we're approaching a genuinely internationally financed, internationally sounding film market is a really, really good thing. And Slumdog, yes, it's a great British movie, but I think absolutely the effect that it's going to have on the Bollywood film industry should not be underestimated, because there was an awful lot of Bollywood talent up there, you know, on the Oscar stage. And it's Danny Boyle has said, and he said it time and time again, he worked with with crews from both sides of the divide, and they worked together, and they, you know, created what was clearly, and I'm sorry, it's right, the right film to have won the Oscar for Best Picture. It's so rare that the Oscars get it right,
but they did this time.
They did, yeah.
Last month spoke to two of the stars of the film. Anil Kapoor, already been mentioned by Rahul, and of course Dev Patel. Dev had spent the day explaining just how big a star Anil Kapoor is in India.
They asked me, so who is this Anil Kapoor? And I was thinking, how can you describe a man who's so popular in India? And I said, he's literally the equivalent of what we look to as Tom Cruise. He's that big out there. And I remember on set, when we'd done the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire sequence, the ADs, the assistant directors on set, couldn't get the crowd to be quiet and laugh on cue or do the things right. And as soon as Anil stood up and goes, "Quiet!" and explained to them how to
Fantastic.
Do it, they're on, you know, edge of their seats listening intently, and the next take they would laugh perfectly and do it correctly because Anil told them to. It was great.
So if Anil says so, it happens.
Yeah.
And of course Anil was sitting there as Dev was doing that whole spiel, and he was still surprised though how big the film had become.
This is completely different, because you see, this has become a global phenomenon. The film, because it's my first film, which is, you know, just, it's like the story of the film. It's like a fairy tale. You know, you never expect it. It just comes as a bolt. We never expected it, that it would become such a world phenomenon. So the films which I have done, and the hype around it and the buzz around it, is basically, you know, the films which release only in the Indian diaspora. So Indian diaspora, I don't mean only India, but it releases in England, UK, USA. Sure. Yeah. But it's basically all the Asians who watch the movie. This is completely different. And it's just... You know, taken be it's The whole journey has been absolutely amazing.
Anil Kapoor, who is, of course, the original milliner. That's
yeah,
where
did
it
you
came
see,
from.
It was a lo- there was a lovely thing on the BBC, on News 24. They had the slumdog...
BBC News Channel, I think, as it's now called.
You know why I said that. They were coming up the red carpet to, I think, the Vanity Fair party, and they had... Danny Boyle was there, and they had the kids. And the kids all did, in unison, they went, "Who went to be a millionaire?" And I'm sure that they were taking the mic.
I'm sure, that's right. Nicely controlled. Now, we've spoken to Danny quite a few times on the programme, seemingly forever, about this film. Yeah. But as recently as last month, he was trying to talk down all this inconvenient Oscar buzz surrounding the film. When you walk up there on Oscar night, okay, am I a little bit premature?
Just a tad, okay. And Tempting Fate, and all those things.
So shall I not complete that?
Absolutely not, no.
Okay, let's just say this. If were you to win an award or two at some stage in the next 12 months, it would be nice to talk to you again.
Oh, listen, if we win any big prizes, we've taken a blood oath that we'll be straight on the plane to Mumbai and parade it through the streets, and then I promise I'll come here on my return.
All right. So that's it. So that's what you didn't want me to talk about, Tempting Fate.
Yeah.
But if we win a major award, and I think so he's probably succeeded on that score.
Yeah.
He's off to Mumbai, first of all. Here's the award. This is for you. And then he's going to come here.
I've got his number. I'll send him a text to remind him.
Oh, you'll send him a text?
Yeah.
Excellent. So you text...
Dear Denny, must come on Simon May show as promised. Mruk.
Yeah, that'll do. I'm sure he'll be there. So it's just great, really, just to see Danny Boyle really up good. There winning an Oscar. That's it. I mean, I think we've said everything that there is to say about extraordinary film.
For
well
anyone
done,
who
Danny.
Hasn't seen it, do check out his acceptance speech, because in the style of Cuba Gooding, who up until that point was, you know, the holder of the yes, that's how an acceptance speech should go. You saw it, right?
No, I didn't.
He came on as he got behind the podium, he started bouncing up and down. And it was lovely, and he said, "I'm sorry, I promised my kids that I would accept the award in the style of Tigger." He subsequently revealed that actually what he said to his kids is that he would accept the award wearing a Tigger outfit. So he kind of bottled out.
Yeah, I heard the clips as they were played on Breakfast, and I thought any man who references Tigger.
But in a fantastic, in exactly the way that Danny Boyle does, he didn't say Tigger, he said Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. That's a man who's been out in America and understands that perhaps you have to do a little bit more explaining.
Except that's where that dreadful Winnie the Pooh cartoon comes from.
Oh, I know.
Where they all have American accents.
I know, it is. That is right. Although I went on the virtual set of the Winnie the Pooh digital cartoon when they were doing it digitally with digital puppets, and it was the first virtual reality set, because the set was done by Doug Trumbull, who's the guy who made Silent Running. So I'm kind of genetically connected to it in a strange way, but I loathe it.
So we've got a lot of the awards going the way that you thought that they would.
Yes, like, many.
So four of them, but not... You didn't repeat your BAFTA success because you got it wrong
Two big mistakes, and let's be frank about them. As far as the Kate Winslet thing is concerned, I mean, I know that holding out for Angelina Jolie was clearly, it wasn't going to happen. I looked at the betting on Sunday, and I think it was like Angelina Jolie was, what do you call it? Is it 5-1 on?
I believe that's the
one. No, Angelina Jolie. Kate wins at 5. That means that you're more like... And Angelina Jolie was like 20-1. It wasn't going to happen. The interesting thing, however, and I'm sorry, I said it before, I have to say it again, is that, look, everybody thought, fine, Kate Winslet, brilliant actress, about time she won an Oscar, no problem. Should have won for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, hey. In classic Oscar style of giving the award to the right person for the wrong film and in the wrong year, okay? And like that old joke about... You know, poor old Ringo Starr, he's not the best drummer in the world. You know what? He's not even the best drummer in the Beatles. That's not the best Kate Winslet performance of the year. The best Kate Winslet performance of the year is Revolutionary Road. And it's this. There's been this strange dance between those two films all the way through the awards ceremonies, when it got the Golden Globes, when, you know, Revolutionary Road was she was up for Best Actress, and in The Reader, she was up for Best Supporting Actress, which is nonsense. At the BAFTAs, she was both films in the Leading Actress category, and when they announced that she'd won, nobody knew which film she'd won for. In this case, it was just The Reader, and I'm sorry, it has to be said, wrong film, there we go, simple, everyone knows it.
We need to explain, by the way, before we finish this particularly interesting Monday sequence of Movie Conversation, quite how people can come and watch the programme. On March the 20th, when we're doing the show live from...
Live.
Live. And you can be in the audience.
Yes.
For the Hyde Park Picture House, which is in Leeds.
Despite the fact it's called the Hyde Park Picture House, but it's in Leeds.
Yeah, in the Hyde Park Picture House area.
Yeah, I know.
Of Leeds. Jack on this. Being unable to watch the ceremony with the magnificent huge action, I was spared the all-singing, all-dancing extravaganza this year. I was able to concentrate on the awards, and what a joy they are to concentrate on. 8 for Slumdog. Danny is now the Academy Award winner. Heath Ledger surprised no one for a change by winning the posthumous Oscar. There were awards for The Dark Knight, Man on Wire, Wall-E, an excellent set of results with so many reasons to bring a smile to my face. But, being the Oscars, reasons to raise an eyebrow and reasons to grumble. Sean Penn was brilliant in Milk.
Yeah, but clearly, but... Yeah, go on. No, he's right. I'm sorry, I'm just agreeing in advance.
Well, you don't know what the but is.
Yeah, well, go on.
This particular but, it would have been nice if Mickey Rourke had completed the comeback.
Exactly.
But why wasn't Wall-E's sound editing rewarded? A question I think on many people's lips this morning. And what was being done to Waltz with Bashir? Why is a film that inventive and effective going home with only a Golden Globe to show for its
troubles? Yeah, I mean, okay, two very interesting points. May I address both of them? In the case of Mickey Rourke and The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke clearly should have won. I'm sorry, there we go. Sean Penn's performance in Milk, and you've seen Milk as well, I think Milk is a fairly unremarkable film. I think his performance in it is very good, but I think it's a fairly unremarkable film. There is always a political edge to all of this, and certainly with what's been going on in California and the banning of gay marriages and that sort of thing, this whole thing has become politicised. I don't know whether you remember a few years ago when Crash won the Best Picture Oscar, and it beat Brokeback Mountain, which up until that point everybody thought was absolutely the favourite. And people said, well, it's to do with the subject matter. Hollywood just isn't quite ready yet. It may be that this is kind of the knock-on effect from this, is that they are ready now. And fine, if awards are to become political, awards will always be political. I'm not in any way complaining about the politics of it, because I think that it's wonderful that what we saw tonight was both the screenwriter and Sean Penn get up and essentially say, look, equal rights, equal rights, equal rights. Good for them. I do think, however, that as the years go by, people are going to look back on it and go, the really outstanding performance that year was Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. Whether Mickey Rourke does another good performance in his career, who knows? Because as I said when we reviewed that film, if he can't do that role, what else can he do? But it is his Raging Bull. It is his Godfather. It is his, and if I was Mickey Rourke sitting in the front row and I lost out, you kind of think, well, that's it. You ain't never going to get an Oscar now. But you know what will happen? In 5 years' time, he'll make a quite middle of the road, moderate movie.
And people will feel guilty, and the
Oscars will realise that, oh, we missed, and they'll do that. It's the Martin Scorsese factor. Which movie did Martin Scorsese win the Oscar for?
I forget.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've got it right.
That's exactly the right answer. Which movie did he get it for? I forget. The Departed, right? No, not, the right ones. Not Taxi Driver, right? Not Mean Streets. Not King of Comedy. Not any of the things that people consider to be the really fine work. But the film so far, when they've gone, have we never given Martin Scorsese an Oscar? Shouldn't we do something about that? And second thing, sorry, on the subject of Man on Wire, best acceptance speech of the night. I mean, there was a good gag from Robert De Niro, who did this when he was introducing Sean Penn, and he said, how has he done it all these years? How has he pretended to be a straight man all these years? Which got a big laugh, which kind of shows you how the tone has changed to some extent in Hollywood. Best acceptance was Man on Wire, which I love, which is a British film, which would be trumpeting its success. Philip Petit was called out of the audience. They called him and said, Philip, if you're here, come in. So Philip Petit ran on the Oscar stage, produced from his pocket a coin, he said, that was given to him by Werner Herzog, which he then made disappear. He did a little magic trick with it. And then he picked up the Oscar and he balanced it on his chin. Now that is an acceptance speech.
The way it should be done.
Yes. I want more juggling. I want more magic. I want more,
Some comments on the entire ceremony. I didn't see the ceremony, as we mentioned, but I know you've done that. You've done your homework. So this from Jerry. A couple of points.
I've done my homework.
Yeah, as in watch the Oscars.
Yeah.
A couple of points, there are six, says Jerry. First of all, get on with it.
Yeah.
I think this is a reference to the ceremony rather than us.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, they did, but in the first hour, they did get on with it.
Two, the tribute to the return of the musical. The whole routine, awful, overlong, cringeworthy.
Directed by Baz Luhrmann.
That tribute to comedy skit was woeful. Four, the Ben Stiller thing fell flat on its face, didn't it? Five, just so I'm not completely negative, Sean Penn ruining many gambling people's accumulators made me smile.
Yeah, sure. Okay, sure.
Although, actually, that would have been happened by Mickey Rourke, not... Oh, yeah, that's the Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, that's the Mickey Rourke. Yeah, although I was out by Kate Winslet.
Let's labour that point.
You have me at hello.
And six, Slumdog winning so much was fair enough, and Danny is such a good bloke who deserves all he gets.
He really is. And on the subject of that, the the musical number was directed by Baz Luhrmann. There was a good joke at the beginning when Hugh Jackman came on and was saying, you know, this that whole ceremony this year is all full of people doing these funny accents. Like, for example, you know, Kate Winslet, you know, she's English, she's playing the German. He said, I am an Australian who played an Australian in a movie called Australia. What am I doing? Hosting. That was good. The other thing they
did it work?
Did that go?
The whole new feel to the way the Oscars are being done, not being presented by a comedian, for example.
Well, the not being presented by a comedian is perfectly fine. And Hugh Jackman was, he was good. He's a song and dance man, and he did songs and dancing, and he did it very well. And I'm a sucker for musicals, that's fine. The thing I'm really not sent on is, if you didn't see this, you know, please check it out, because it's quite toe-curling. In the acting categories, rather than having clips from the films, when they said, you know, and here are the nominees, what they did was they got five previous winners up on stage, each one of whom would then do a sort of a soliloquy about how fabulous one particular nominee was. So Whoopi Goldberg would say, oh, you know, nominated this year's blah, 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 blah. Oh, and they're brilliant and I love them and they're so fabulous. And everyone would, there'd be tears. And then Shirley MacLaine would say, nominated this year, Anne Hathaway. Oh, she's so fabulous. And he cuts to Anne Hathaway saying, oh, I love you, I love you. And it went, honestly, it walked the tightrope between and, oh, look at all those people on stage. And there's two reasons for doing it. One of them is the Academy showing off. The Academy effectively saying, who else could get this talent on stage? And the other, it seemed to me, was simply to just crank up the yuck factor. Because it meant that no matter who won, everybody got a moment of going, oh, thank you, oh, thank you, oh, thank you, in a way which is really toe-curling. What I want is a guy to come up on stage and go, here's the nominees, four of you lost.
That would be the kind of, Mickey Rourke would do that.
Yeah, he would.
That would be his...
He'd do it in a slightly more fruity... By the way,
this is live streamed, by the way. I forgot to mention that earlier. That's why the lights are on, so people can actually watch the fun. How about that?
Yeah, at 2 minutes to two, that's useful information.
Probably
for
just noticed Matt shuffling in, thinking, blimey, he only turns up at 2 minutes to two. Leonie in Exeter. Simon, could you ask the doctor if Heath Ledger, in his opinion, would have won the Oscar if he hadn't died?
Yes, I do. I think he would have done. I really do think he would have done. I think that was the outstanding thing about The Dark Knight, and I think it was right. And they wanted to give The Dark Knight recognition because it was such a popular film. But it was also... I mean, I think, funnily enough, Batman Begins was more of an example of this, but it was a strange mixture of arthouse movie and multi-million dollar, you know, blockbuster. But I think Heath Ledger would have done... He would have won anyway. And I think it's a shame that it's being seen as a kind of sentimental vote. I really don't think it was. I genuinely don't think
it was. Have you seen any of his very, very last performance?
No. And it's funny because I gave Gilliam an award just last week. And I still haven't seen any of Imaginarium Dr. Parnassus, but I'm really excited about it. And the reason is, it's funny, I said to somebody, I've heard really good things about it. And they said, who from? I said, well, Terry Gilliam. And they went, well, of course, he's... But actually, the funny thing is, that's not the case. In the case of Terry Gilliam, usually he'll go, it's a disaster, you know, so it's really good.
Who is entitled... By the way, if you're waiting for details, how to come see this live show, we'll do that. As soon as news and sport are done, we'll do this at 5 minutes past two.
Because I can stay, I don't have anywhere to go now.
Okay, that's great. Who's entitled, do you think, to be most upset by not winning anything?
Well, if I was Mickey Rourke, I can't believe any sentence begins, if I was Mickey Rourke. I think Mickey Rourke, you know, I mean, he took it on the chin. He was asked by the BBC News Channel. They said, if you'd got up, what would you have said? And he made an inappropriate joke because Sean Penn had, you know, sort of effectively dedicated his award to, you know, gay people fighting for their rights. And Mickey Rourke said, well, I'd like to say on behalf of all the straight men, I'd like to thank all the women of the week. He thought, oh, Mickey, you know, there we go.
Here's the sound of Mark banging his head on mouth. The table. You can follow us on Twitter, by the way, through the week. You go to twitter.com and you look for Wittertainment. Mm-hmm. Not that Mark contributes enormously to that programme.
I haven't quite cracked it yet.
No. That's the understatement. That's the understatement.
It's technology.
Of the week. James in Glasgow, BA Honours, M Architecture and PhD in Progress. Sincere thanks to Dr. K for admitting he has nowhere better to be than with us humble listeners. Could the good doctor possibly tell me whether this year's pre-Oscar season has seen an excess of Hollywood movies made with nothing but shameless Academy Award yearnings? I was relieved to see that neither £7 nor Benjamin Button won, simply because they seem to have "Give me an Oscar" scrawled all over the posters and other publicity. Rather than a year in which British films triumph, as parroted by every British newspaper or media outlet today, but in which cynically produced films designed solely for Oscar success failed to make the grade. Do you understand his point?
I do. I mean, I don't know that this year was any worse than any other year. There is this terrible thing that you get up to the award season and you start getting the movies which have got Give Me an Award stamped all over them. I think the greatest antidote to that was Slumdog Millionaire, which clearly was not made with Oscars in mind. I mean, not even Oscar nominations in mind. It is not a movie that says Give Me an Award. It is a Danny Boyle film, and the fact that it ended up being this incredible Oscar success is totally after the fact, and I think that's really refreshing and encouraging.
So just as far as the ceremony is concerned, what do you think that they'll look at that template next year and think, you know what, we could do that again. Let's not get David Letterman, you know, let's not get another comedian in there. Let's stick with a very talented actor. Let's go with that kind of model. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought that Hugh Jackman did a perfectly fine job. I think that the biggest, I mean, he did a gag at the beginning about, you know, the credit crunch has hit and therefore I've knocked this song and dance number up myself from nothing. And so he had jokes about, you know, cardboard cutout Oscars and doing everything on the cheap, which was, you know, quite funny. It was interesting that he did a song that was a jokey song about all the main picture contenders in the same way that Billy Crystal used to do. Do you remember that? And Billy Crystal came on Once on a Horse.
He was brilliant. It was almost like his best work ever. He was. The Oscars.
But it was interesting that when he got to The Reader, I thought, what's he going to do with The Reader, right? Because, you know, Reader, touchy subject matter, what's he going to do? And his gag about The Reader was, The Reader, I haven't seen The Reader, I should have seen. I thought, cop out, come on. You know, really, if you were worth your weight, you would have done better than I haven't seen The Reader. You would have gone for the offensive gag.
But nice to have you singing on the programme.
No, thank you. Obviously, I always like to. The thing that I hope they ditch is this business of getting out actors and actresses to do this sort of toasting of the nominees. I mean, I have to say, what the yuck factor was very, very high.
Just
and
a word on the foreign film.
Oh, yes.
Oscar, because a number of people on their emails just saying essentially. What about Waltz with
Bashir? No, I know.
What's happened there?
Look, I mean, if I, again, as I said, you know, having been brought up a Methodist, essentially not a betting man, but the feeling with everybody was that the title fight in the foreign language film category was between Waltz with Bashir and Class, which won at the Palme d'Or at Cannes, and Waltz with Bashir, which I thought was pretty much the best thing that I'd seen at Cannes, other than the Terrence Davis movie, which has been overlooked everywhere,
except for
the Kermode Awards, where it won Best Film.
Is that the Kermode Awards where there's only a jury of one?
Yeah, me. Yeah, that's right. Hence the name.
Wouldn't it be great if we all had our own
suddenly, Departures, this Japanese movie, won in the front. And there was an audible. I mean, I think it wasn't just in the auditorium. It was like around the world. Hey, what? Who? Because, I mean, we haven't seen hide nor hair of that film over here. And, I mean, one must assume that it has value. But it was very interesting. The foreign language film category is always going to cause them problems. As you know, the biggest gripe about it was the fact that Gomorrah didn't even get into the long list. There's a longest list, then a long list. Then a short list, which is the nominations, and Gomorrah didn't even get into the longest list. It's a completely cockamamie category, and every year it kind of gets everything wrong from the beginnings of the nominations. And this year, now, I'm not, because I haven't seen Departures, and I certainly hope it's a terrific film. I have to say, considering the competition that it beat off, it better be pretty good.
Yes, this Simon from Pear. This is
from who?
Could Mark send messages to Twitter from his phone?
I don't
remember. No, it says, remember that you can do this if you set it up correctly. He can't read the replies that way, but then Mark has always been a little more send than receive, hasn't he? I think that's probably,
there's probably some truth in that.
Dear Blah and Blah, congratulations. Now, you see, Tim has annoyed me on this email already and I haven't got yet to the bit that annoys me.
Okay.
Dear Blah and Blah, congratulations to Danny Boyle for his poverty porn. Now, this is a line which was trotted out. As soon as I saw it written by...
Who wrote that? I've not heard it before.
The first time I saw it, I think it was a columnist in The Times, Camilla Cavendish or one of those.
So that Slumdog is poverty porn?
It was poverty porn.
What, thinking, pants?
Well, of course it's pants, but also you thought of that phrase. It's a bit of alliteration, but actually at no stage in any way does it glorify it, does it say anything?
No, that's
anything
a headline in search of an article, that is, I'm sorry.
It is what it is.
But yeah, don't read any further.
Okay. Well, that's it. If I can't read
it, no, but
that's,
it's fine.
That's
no,
the whole
you,
thing
you can. I mean, I'm sorry, but I believe it's, you know, there are certain things you just say, no, we draw the line here. It ain't, but that's just, it is, you know.
So on Friday, it's just something just to bear in mind, and people may well want to be twittering about it. You're on the show, and so are you too. Yeah.
Can I clear something up, incidentally?
What?
There's been some discussion on the intraweb that you and I had a really big tiff.
Really?
On air. Yeah. There was a discussion of the terribly awkward silence that followed after a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about some film, and I said, and you said, oh, nobody would like that. And I said, my kids really liked it. And you said, well, that says something about your parents. And there was what we can, what I considered to be, you know, a humorous, but there was literally something people said, did you hear that pause? Blimey, you can really hear how much they hate each other in that pause. I just want to be absolutely clear about this. We do hate each other, but it wasn't the pause that gave it away.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live